Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we acknowledge your presence, and hopefully as days go by, even moments, Lord, that presence will be more and more to us, and not only in our acknowledgement, but in our reverence and walking softly before the Lord. We realize that that is one thing from the Old Testament that we have learned, that you yourself had said, can even concerning kings that were disobedient and very tremendous in their power for evil, when they listened even to a word or so, you would say, they're walking softly before me. And we want to walk very softly before you, Lord, not because we are in an extension of evil, but we're in a very evil time and a very wonderful time of your presence, that you have sanctified all these things by your very presence here, Lord, by your word, by your holy power. And we're asking you to help us to walk softly before you, to be very gracious and kind in all things, remembering that we are before your face. You are looking down upon us in favor, therefore, the same favor, Father, may we extend toward others and walk in that light, and that light of love, and that love of light, to be acknowledged by you, Lord, and even, perhaps even by others, that we are the dear children of God. Help us to that extent this morning. We give you glory. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may be seated. Now, last night we were, as in two previous messages, we were going into stewardship. We just discussed the word servant, which actually means a bond slave. And then we discussed the thought of stewardship, which actually is an office. And when you are in a particular office, you are given supplies by God himself, because we're dealing with the spiritual understanding, because Jesus was using a parable on stewardship to impress upon the people that when they were given something to work with, they were given, first of all, divine favor by God when he said, Israel, of all nations, you're the only one that I chose and I called you. And then he gave them the opportunity to be stewards, and many times over. Now, you'll notice that Abraham was a very, very faithful steward, but he certainly did go wrong in the sense of the same thing that happened in the garden, as Eve subjected herself and subdued herself to the beast and brought forth Cain, the serpent seed line. Even so, Abraham listened to Sarah, and he took this little Egyptian girl, and very foolishly got her pregnant, and she brought forth then Ishmael. And that's always been a thorn in the side of the true children of God. You'll notice how Ishmael began then to mock his younger half-brother Isaac and put him at naught. It's just the same as no doubt Cain would knock around Abel before they were mature men, because he's a great big husky guy. And you know, you've seen how that animals play. They don't think much of it. They're a great big animal, and they go whap to a little tiny animal. It's all just fun, you know, but it isn't much fun to the guy that's getting whapped around. And so Sarah too late realized what a terrible mess she'd made by letting her husband get this child by another woman, when actually she was the woman predestinated to bring forth the child. And because she was getting way up to her past age, she couldn't believe it. Well, that's impossible, impossible, impossible. And she just wiped the whole thing out of her mind. And bringing something else in her mind, she brought this condition which you have right today in Palestine, where the Arabs are, and they recognize they're Semites. When people talk about anti-Semitism, you come against an Arab, you're just as anti-Semitic as you come against a Jew. Because that's, you take that line right down from Shem right to Abraham, right on through. And, so anyway, we find that this, sacred charge that God gave, Abraham to have a child by Sarah, he blew it and she blew it. Now, you notice what came out of it. They came out of it complete disaster. And you got the disaster right today. When God gave Israel a charge, and he helped them in that charge, whereby he allowed Balaam to come on the scene and bring temptation before Israel to see by the temptation who would fall for it and who wouldn't fall for it. Well, right away, a large number of men fell instantly for adultery with the inhabitants of the land as they went through. And they were also cousins, remember, way back, because they were children of Lot by his two daughters. And so they worshiped God properly in a limited sense of the word. And they even had a gifted man there with an office of a prophet. Now, that was allowed by God. It was even spoken of by God to the extent of a foreordination in that particular area. And they actually were seducing the children of Israel. But I say that was a trap that God allowed in order to clear them out of the element that should not go into the promised land. Then when they were going to the promised land with that number all taken away, and everybody that was over the age of 20 as they came out of Egypt, they were all taken out of the way. Foolish virgin, everyone taken out of the way. Now he said, you go in there with the charge of destroying every single person in there. Because if you don't destroy every one of them, they are going to be thorns in your side and in your eyes. You're going to cohabit with them. You're going to raise up children that do not have the proper bloodlines. Now remember, at this time, God could have bred Israel right back to a true human race. Now don't tell me it can't be done, because it can be done. You can do it with animals. And man's animal. But what did they do? Right away they used their reasoning and they ran into folly. So I guess the Gibeonites came by and they circumnavigated the land, and they came from a direction, having gone all the way around, to fool Israel that they weren't, I don't know what the directions were, but let's say they lived in the north. Well, they chased all around to the south, then came up behind to pretend they were way, way down from the south somewhere when they're right around the corner in the north. And they didn't inquire of the Lord. So what happened? You got Israel now becomes penetrated by filth, serpent seed, and you find Israel now after just two kings, David and his son was a mess. Now David messed up a lot, but he wasn't like his son. What happened? What they did, they had a sacred charge, they had a sacred office, they were stewards to the grace of Almighty God, being those that were given the word. Now remember, you know that God spoke through Moses and said, when the people see you people who have the word of God, now that was the key. Oh, no people have the wisdom. No people have what you have, because you have the word of God. Today, they say, we have the word of God, and we do. And they look at us and say, who do you think you are anyway? Oh, you mentioned the pure word of God. Forget it. We got Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, no, you don't. Oh, no, you don't. He's only the high priest to a very select few, even as Aaron was a high priest only to Israel and nobody else. And he stands there with condemnation. Right today, he's come and condemned the whole world. There in the pillar of fire, God stood right there. Condemned the whole world through the mouth of a prophet. You see what you're looking at? You're looking at two things that are the most important things in all the world. Number one, stewardship. Number two, sowing and reaping. And until the church understands these two things, you will never understand the Word of God, where it is coming from God Himself, and the principles which lie within God Himself that He extends toward us and gives us a word of explanation and puts us in the path of righteousness. We who came from Him now go back to Him, and this time not born only with nothing, naked. We return dressed in the beautiful garments I spoke of, my little preamble here in your greeting. Rewards and a glorious entrance into the kingdom. We have a charge and we have the endowment and the endowment. Now, never forget what I've been teaching over here in Ephesians. I got to pick it up right here. likely chapter 3, I'm not sure. Yeah, 3. In verse 20. Now, unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we ask or think, according to the power that worketh within us. Now, not a transliteration of this, but an actual, true, not even a revelation now, just an actual, true interpretation from the Greek is this, that you haven't got a clue to what God can do in and through you as you let Him use the power or the endowments and the endowment that God put there. In other words, like Brother Branham had a greater ministry than Jesus Christ because he knew how to get out of the way. He knew how to step aside. Say, let God, you handle it, and you handle it through me. You hear what I said? God, you handle it, but you handle it through me. Remember one day they... I didn't cover this last night. It's in my notes because it would have taken about 2 solid hours of preaching or longer. In there, you will notice that God, in the exodus of Israel into Palestine, and having not even gotten there yet, on the road, the people began to... Moses began, and his father-in-law helped him, to murmur at the fact that Moses' load was too big to carry. And so the father-in-law suggested that Moses delegate some of the authority to many people who were able to handle that the necessities that were in the camp to be dealt with in a judicial and proper manner, because they were men of proper understanding and experience. And so Moses thought that was a pretty good idea to get the load off of him. So he went to the Lord, and the Lord said, fine. And he took 70 men, and he took the spirit off of Moses and put it upon 70 men. And yet the spirit upon Moses, which had dedicated him to that office, which was prophet, the lawgiver, the judge, God to the people, the patriarch, the one in supreme control, God working and moving through him, which you know by studying your scripture, especially in the book of Exodus, right on through Numbers, and mostly Exodus and Numbers, not so much in Leviticus, a certain amount of Deuteronomy. How that God was moving through this man who was God to the people, and according to Deuteronomy 18, that's exactly the way it is, and that's exactly the way it was and is at this very minute. Well, all right. That was an office that Moses had from God. Now, when it came to the high priest, God used Moses to dedicate that man, and he smeared him with oil, showing that there is a type of an anointing which is not the anointer himself. It was Moses who was anointed with the anointer. It is the prophet who is anointed with the Holy Ghost and God himself in the prophet. But these other men also have an anointing from God, which are offices, and they are gifts. But remember, the gift is not the giver. And that's where Pentecost and everybody gets all messed up. But a few people like this, I realize the Baptists and Presbyterians, the fundamentalists understand that also. But they don't understand with us what we understand, or we go right back to the source and through the Word of God. All right, now, these men upon whom the Spirit came, they were from various tribes evidently. And you will find in number 16, I think it is somewhere in there. We better see if I can go back and see it. Yeah. Now it says, Korah, the son of Izhar, the son of Kohath, the son of Levi. Now there's a Levite, there's a preacher. There's a part of the priesthood, part of the ministry. And Dathan and Abiram, the sons of Eliab, and On, the sons of Peleth, the son of Reuben. Now Reuben was the first son, and there's no priesthood in that particular area. Oh, thanks. I don't know if I'll need those or not. Good. But see what I'm looking at here, that these are men of high repute. They're princes. They're 250. They were famous. They're men of renown. They're men to be looked upon with great respect, because they're somebody, have accomplished somebody something, and they look very good because they are bees B-E-S, in contrast to the wannabes. Now, these are wannabes in contrast to the B, which is Moses. Now, remember, Satan was a wannabe in contrast to Jesus, who was the B. Right? And the B, Jesus, never, ever had any difficulty with the great I Am, huh? Who's the big B, B-E, not double E. Now, these are a bunch of wannabes. And they got a bunch of wannabes behind them. Now, the whole world is full of wannabes. And you notice that that's a coin, this term, made in Hollywood, a phrase, by Hollywood. Right? It's in your papers. They're wannabes. Not wannabe. That's a Japanese. It's a wannabe, a man that wants to be what he isn't. He'd like to be there. Now, these people rose up against Moses. And they said, Moses, you take too much upon you. I want you to know this, bud. We prophesy. We've got gifts. No, don't you doubt for 1 minute. We don't have gifts that we do. And we are important. And we're just as important as you are. Now, previous to this, a lot of people were prophesying. And they came, and some came to Moses and said, Moses, don't you realize that these people are prophesying? We look to you. And we believe that you got it all, and these people have nothing. He said, don't you ever dare say that. He said, they do have something. And would God everybody prophesied? See? That's what Paul said. Would that you all spoke in tongues. Would that you all prophesied. There's nothing against it. But put it where it belongs. It is merely a gift of the Holy Ghost. Now, when you talk about a genuine prophet of God, a word prophet, he is the gift of God to the church, the bride, whatever you want to call it. When you talk about a genuine fivefold ministry, they, those men, are gifts. When you talk about laity, when it comes to elder, deacon, the rest, they have gifts, but they are not gifts to the church. And these men were not gifts to the church. They were merely gifted. And they rose up and they said, Moses, we will not take it. And Moses, for the first time, got angry. And I mean, he was very angry. He wasn't sulking to God as he sulked before. Lord, am I able to bear all these people? Oh, man, this is too tough. I've got it too hard. Moses got on his high horse and he said, God, listen to me. If these men are right, that means I'm wrong. And if I'm right, they're wrong. And now it's time for judgment, the showdown. And he stood before the whole crowd and he said, if these men die a natural death, I am not of God. The Bible said, stand back. And the earth opened and swallowed them all, their tents and their families, and fire came up. That's your great tribulation. You've got a repeat coming on. And I'm going to tell you, brother, sister, you and I can take a stand for God as we've never taken a stand before. If we are wrong, we will die a natural death. If we're wrong, we'll die in the great tribulation or somewhere. But if we are right, somebody's going to be standing right here on the day the tribulation, just before it sets in, there's going to be a resurrection and a bride taken out of here. The rest are going to die those common deaths of fire, flood, destruction, disease, and everything else. So, all right. We're looking at this thought then of stewardship, which, and sowing and reaping, they literally go hand in hand, and there's nothing you can do about it because that's the way it is. The only trouble is, as we showed you last night, here is number one, Almighty God up there, above it all. There is nobody there but God. You can't even use the word space. You can't use the word time. You can't talk of materials. You can talk of nothing except God, and it's said that He is in darkness. Clothed in darkness, which means there's nothing there to see anyway if you could see it. And there he is, inscrutable. Now, with nothing there but God, remember, there isn't one atom, let alone a molecule, let alone a substance, let alone anything. There is nothing but God who is spirit. God wasn't created, God was. And there's nothing you can do about it. Nothing you can think about it boggles the mind. He was, he is, and he will be eternal. And God then brought forth the Son. Now this could be the original statement, let there be light, but I doubt very much if it is. He gave birth right here to this Son. Because Brother Branham said a light formed. Now to form something, you've got to have something there to form it of. There's got to be something. And Brother Branham also said God gave birth to himself, which I don't think really he meant God gave birth to himself, but God himself gave birth, though I can look at it in both ways. Because God is not God unless there's somebody there to worship him, because God is an object of worship. So the minute then that the Son came forth, God, Spirit rather, gave birth to God himself, because he wasn't God until that time. You see what I'm saying? So no matter how Brother Branham said it, it doesn't make any difference. The sense and the truth is still there. Absolutely. There is no problem with it. So now this Son comes forth right here. Now the Son is the one by whom God created all things. Now Jehovah Witness come very close, and closer than any Trinitarian or Jesus-only person I know of, when they... And in my books, they make more sense. Put it this way, they're 100 million miles off. They take Revelation 3 and 14, the beginning of the creation of God. And they say that God created Jesus. He did not. He birthed him. They say God created Jesus and he became the agent of creation. Now, the term agent of creation, I accept as correct. But the creation of the Son is a lie from the pit of hell. And is worthy of the devil. Very unworthy of God, because it makes God a liar. God birthed this one right here, and this is a part of God, and it's a substantial part of God, and so substantial that in him, you and I and every child of God born on this earth was in him, so that then this one here was to become the fullness of the Godhead bodily, so that anything and everything that ever came forth from God in a bodily form had to come through him. And we were in him. And what was in him was then placed in Adam, and consequently in Eve. Now, at this particular time, whenever that was, he created Satan. And Satan was called the son of the morning, which is dawn, D-A-W-N. And when you begin talking about morning or dawn, you are talking about time periods. As one person correctly said, time is that part of eternity that is measured by the roll or turn of a planet. And that's very correct, because it is. And so we have now time has come into being with this creation here. And whatever he had up there before he allowed Satan to be made. Now, we know by the book of Ezekiel that Satan was, he was called Lucifer. And over in Ezekiel chapter 28, and remember, Ezekiel chapter 28 is a picture of Isaiah 14. So you just take Isaiah 14, multiply by 2, and you got the two chapters that you need. And it says in here then, take up a lamentation. Thou sealest up the sum. In other words, this is a summation. And when you talk about a summation, you say, this is the whole thing. You're looking at here as the whole thing, the fullness of Godhead bodily. Now you're looking over here as another whole thing. As this one summed it all up, this one sums it up. You follow me? You got twins. Only one is a child of God, and one is a created being, a spirit being at that. And he's called Lucifer. And that has to do with light. That's where you get the old song that said in the First World War, you light up a Lucifer, you strike a match. That's a light. Lux Lucis. That's Latin. All right. I don't go into it. I haven't got enough notes on that anyway. Thou sealest up the sum of wisdom. You're the sum and the substance. You are the apex. You are literally all of it. Everything there is in you at this particular thing we're talking about. That's why Brother Branham said that Eve sold out God for wisdom. Now, there's two kinds of wisdom. We could maybe talk about it. Perfect in beauty, which he most certainly was. And when we talk about that perfection, perfect in beauty, we know the beauty means brightness. He's decked out. He's in splendor. He's got an office that actually was not intended to be, or at that point was not, in opposition to and in rivalry with the Son of God. It was truly complementary. And he was to be truly complementary to Jesus. Now, at that time of the worship, when there were angels, archangels, cherub, and the whole panoply, the whole heavens at that point filled, they were worshiping, and Satan, the word anointing, comes from the very same word that you would get the anointing upon the high priest and the anointing upon the Son of God. It's a root word, meaning that there is something from the beginning, both of which have an element, but this one has the true and the fullness, and this has a part. Now remember then, that part here must be complementary to this. It has to be, or worship is off of balance. Then if this ever becomes in rivalry with this, you follow me? Or this ever aggrandizes itself to a place wherein it tries to usurp or even thinks in terms of what lies in this as to a duplication, then this becomes concretely adverse to Almighty God and becomes sinful. In other words, the word iniquity, thou wast perfect in all thy ways till iniquity found thee, means he came against the Word of God, which we see here as the plan of God, because the Word of God is the plan of God. Coming right from God concerning himself, concerning everything in his kingdom, concerning you and me. And that's all you're dealing with. And remember, when you deal back here, and you deal down here from the Garden of Eden, when you start dealing there, you are dealing with religion. You are dealing with the worship of God. You are not dealing with economics. You are not dealing with politics. You are not dealing with government. You are dealing with theocracy. You understand what I'm saying? Well, come on, let's get that plan. Because I want you to know democracy is of the devil. You say, Brother Vail, I prefer democracy. So do I. But it's still of the devil. And if you think our democracy is not going to end up as bad or worse than Russia, you are insane this morning. Because Brother Branham absolutely said their atomic bombs are headed for America. He even said Jefferson built the DuPont plant. Don't worry, Jeff's going to get it because the pillar of fire was there. So was Houston because the pillar of fire was there. And Washington will sure get it because the pillar of fire was there. He spoke at a breakfast. There'll be about 6 bombs hit America. Don't worry, it'll take them all out. That's just a rough guess on my part. 6 of them. Shouldn't take any more than that. Maybe 3 will do the job even. So, all right. We have down here then, from here on, we have, right from the top, we have a system of theocracy whereby God has set up the worship of Almighty God, and we know that it went haywire, it went astray. But there's coming a time when every knee is going to bow and every tongue is going to confess that Jews and Gentiles and everybody, that Jesus Christ is God, that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. In other words, the glory of God, the full assessment of God, the full demonstration, the full planopy, everything that's of God that is to be made visible, is made to be coherent, is made to mean something, all comes right down. And that's what we know to be true because Alpha is Omega, and Omega ends with the Lamb on the throne, the bride around the throne, the 144,000, the foolish virgin outside, and the Lamb on the throne above him is the pillar of fire, Elohim himself. True? Exactly true. So, all right. Now, we are looking at this picture here where Satan is not really co-equal only in an office, but not in sight. See? Not in sight. He is not a born one. This one is the born one. This is the created one. But look at the position he gave him. He gave him literally the ability to be in the kingdom of God and to exist with what he had from the beginning. And all he had to do was to just stick to that word. The minute he bent the word, the minute he bent the word. Now listen, if you can bend light, and people can bend light, they can use it with mirrors, they can deflect it. But the minute that you really can bend light, you are in very grave trouble. Because light travels in straight lines. As far as I know, it did in night study, it did. Guess it still does. And you can see what you can do by way of mirrors, how the light even traveling. I can take a mirror in this right up here, and if I stick my nose over here, I can see what's in the sink. Well, if I'm washing my face or something, and yet that's the sink itself is not visible. See, light is a very tremendous, wonderful thing. By the way, it comes straight, bounce up, and they have that an angle of deflection, and you can work scientific principles and everything else by the laws of physics, which come from light. But anyway, all he had to do was walk in that light, like the Apostle Paul said: "If you live in the light, walk in the light." See, if you live in the Spirit, walk in the Spirit. John said, walk in the light. No, Paul said that if you live in the Spirit, see, you walk in the Spirit. And John said, walk in the light as he's in light. One we use light and one use Spirit. So therefore, when you talk about light, you can talk about Spirit. It's the same thing as you can say, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." That's not what he really said. He said, "I am the way, the reality, and the life." See, and truth is reality. A lie is not reality. And the minute that you bend the truth, the minute you take and add to it or take from it and you twist it, then it is not real. See, as Brother Branham said, the church lives in the glare. It should live in the glow. It should live in the direct light of Almighty God. You know, that's what the earth was made for, everything about the earth, to have this direct light. Now, we don't live in the past. We live in the direct light of Almighty God at this period. That's why you can't put a new patch on an old garment and things like that. See, okay, this up here then is from creation. And he had everything in his control, everything just exactly right, the way it should be. And remember now, because he was here and here in worship. You follow me now? Worship, 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 worship. They are in balance. And this one had to be complementary to this one. There was no other way except complementary because he was not equal. Now, Satan is a created being. Let's go back here to Hebrews. Now, the book of Hebrews, we're going to read about Jesus. Now, for unto the angels in chapter 2 and 5, for unto the angels hath he not put in subjection the world to come, whereof we speak. Now, the point is then, this one here was the one that Eve should have brought forth, because to no angel and to nobody but Jesus was the world to come
to be brought into subjection. Is that right? It has to be, because this is the Word of God and it doesn't change. I don't care when it was written. 50 million years before, 50 million years past, it is still the Word of God that cannot change. He was meant to be that one. Huh? So, don't you get all messed up with Genesis. I tell you something. You believe the prophet. You just believe him. And God will teach you the truth. Like I'm going to show you this morning exactly why Brother Branham said. I could be wrong, but I don't believe I am. Why Jesus was Michael. You want to know? Well, I'll tell you. Just hold your hats on. Now it says right here. Now I'm not trying to be dramatic. I'm just telling you I know the Word of God. That's all. And I stand on it. And if you don't like it, I'd go someplace else any day of the week. Or I can shut my mouth and stay home, never talk again. Doesn't matter. See, I'm not lukewarm about this thing. I'm either hot or cold, and believe me, my sermons melt ice, don't worry. I can get people so hot sitting in their seats, their ears begin to steam. Doesn't bother me at all. Unto which the angels, yet he put in subjection the world to come. That's the ages, the systems. But unto a certain place he said, what is man, thou art mindful of him, the son of man, you visit him. Thou madest him no lower than the angels, thou crownest him with glory and honor, and didst set him over the works of thy hands. Now that's ordinary man to begin with, also speaking of Jesus. And also speaking of ordinary man, the angels don't have this control, man is to have it. Because the fullness of the Godhead bodily comes through Jesus. And we're talking about bodily, right? Oh, come on. You don't find animals reigning over the earth. No. Thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet. For in that he put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. But whom? 1 Corinthians 15 tells you, God himself. And God himself right now is putting everything under the feet of Jesus, bringing the church into perfect submission, which is the same root word of the word shout the klusma. He came down with the message to put us under the feet of Jesus. That takes you to the holy city. New Jerusalem. The foot of Jesus, the feet of Jesus is here under at the foot of the throne, and we're under it. Oh, hallelujah. That's worth shouting about. But now we see yet that all things under him. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death. Now up here he was above the angels. So now he's got to come down and leave that estate to come on down here. In the human race. So he made a little lower for the suffering of death. So now you and I, in the economy of God, at this time, have a lower stature than the angels, which did not fall. But you wait till the resurrection. We'll judge angels. Take on a stature of the stature of Jesus Christ, the Son of God risen from the dead, whom we know is the Son of Man. We see he made a little lower an angel, suffering a death, crowned with glory and honor, that he by the grace of God should take death for every man. That word man should be in italics. It's for every son. He didn't taste death for Cain and the serpent seed. Come on. For it became him from whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons into glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through suffering. It tells you that God is doing this, and he's doing it through the Son. For both he that sanctifieth and them that are sanctified are all of one. That's Jesus put apart in this office, and we for whom he was put apart in that office are all of one, which means God is our Father. I drew it all down here for you. Bling, bing, 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 right down. There's your line. You're in your Father. Natural election. You tell that to the people that believe in predestination. They will not agree with you. They make it some mystical little farcical thing. They will not admit the truth that the male is given a charge by God, that he is an officer of God, that he is a steward of God to bring forth children with the woman, and they've defied it, and they're going to die for it. And I've not touched my subject yet. I'm just getting warmed up. There's three or four to go. Hey. You got a sacred trust. You don't just have a passion. I'm not tested yet. I'm not. That's another subject. But you can see it's going to get hot before it's over. We all get condemned in this, but don't worry. Thank God there's a way out. But there'd better be a stopping of the crime against God that's been going on. For he that sanctified, they are sanctified, are all of one source. For which cause he's not ashamed to call them brethren. What he did for us wipes the record so clear that we didn't do it in the first place. That's justification. Justified by faith. And what is faith? Faith is a revelation. The true revelation of reality. The garment is pure. Saying, I'll declare thy name unto my brethren in the midst of the church, while I sing praise unto thee. So it tells you right here that this one here was above all the angels. Then he came to our stature lower to suffer death for us. We who came to the flesh, becoming lower than angels, to suffer adverse conditions in order to mature us and give us the character we have need of to reign and rule over even angels. And the very tremendously extensive, limitless borders that God has out there for us. Because if you think right now with a scientific mind what we can do with atoms and we can do with this and that and the other thing, what can we do as dear children of God, allowed a liberty where you can know the name of every single animal, every single bird, every butterfly, everything that ever was, and have dominion through the Spirit of God moving and reigning in people's lives over the tremendous kingdom of Almighty God here upon earth. So, all right, now, let's just take a look at those angels for a minute. Now, the Bible distinctly tells us that angels left their first estate. And I read you from, Dr. Weiss. I don't know if I got it here in my Bible anymore or not. But anyway, the idea is that they left the office that God gave them. They left the place, is what it really was said. They left the place that God gave them. And so therefore, in leaving it, at their place, they were leaving an office. Now, they weren't leaving sonship at all. They were leaving office. The devil defiled his office. He never lost his sonship. He never had sonship. None of these here have anything to do with sonship. But remember, they are the servants of God, bond slaves by creation, and these are bond slaves by birth, because you can't get away from God if you try, if you're part of God. So you see, you're a slave in the sense of the fact that you cannot ever get away from God. The next thing is, we found out about these bond slaves. A slave, if he loved his master, he'd have the awl put to his ear, a little hole made there, signifying from now on he listens to his boss, and there's nobody else he listens to. I'm my master's, and that's the way it is. And that's organization has done that. We, in turn, have done the other thing. We have put our ears to the door frame and the awl, and we've heard the prophet's voice. The sword of God has punctured our ear, and we can hear nothing but the word. When you talk about rapture, what do you think I think of? Jesus does all three in descending. He's the shout and the voice, the trumpet. What is the shout? What is the trumpet? What the voice? What is the trumpet? I got an all down pat. You say, talk about the seals. Well, I know all about the seals. What is the seventh seal? Revelation 10, 1 to 7. What about this? And what about then taking the word, eating it, and go before kings? Is that you, Brother Branham? No, that's the word. And the word's gone out around the world, and it continues to go. This is the true gospel. And, of course, going to the world, God's not going to feed it to all the unregenerates, although they run across it. This is sheep food. The sheep hear my voice. If any man hear my voice, any man, why? It's got to be a sheep. It's got to be a shepherd, like unto him. William Branham stood there hearing the voice, opened the door, and we, in turn, then heard the voice as it came down to us. Which, as Joe Branham has put in the books, the voice of God, which is certainly true. It is the voice of God. But, you know, people can use that terminology and simply pride themselves. Well, we have a prophet. We have the voice of God. Well, that's great. Tell me what the voice is all about. Tell me what he told you. Tell me what he's done for you. Tell me what he's going to do for you. Now, let's just check these angels for a little bit here. And remember, as we say, they left their first estate. They just went away. They weren't satisfied with that. They tried to make themselves something due to their office what they weren't. In other words, they tried to make themselves bigger than what they were. See, Satan fell by reason of his beauty. He fell by reason of the fact that he held his splendor, what his attraction the office gave him, the position that God gave him. He fell because he had that. He wasn't happy to be just what he was. He wanted to be somebody else, to be somebody greater, to be something he wasn't. What do you think happened in the time of Moses when they rose up against Moses? They weren't happy just to prophesy. They weren't happy just to take a place there. No, they weren't happy. They wanted to start putting their two bits in. They wanted to show that they had something. When Jesus came on the scene, it was the same thing. When Paul came on the scene, the same thing. Luther came on the scene. Every messenger of God's had the same thing to fight about. And to fight over, to stand with the word of the living God, while people all around them wanted to be somebody, or to make them somebody foolish, like they tried to make, Luther, something he wasn't. And then somebody came and said, my spirit tells me, he said that something about your Christ incarnate or something. And Luther said, and my spirit smacks your spirit in the snout. He couldn't stand such asininity, the braying of an ass. Let me tell you something. The cry of the lion isn't the braying of an ass. That's Aesop's fable. All right. Listen. The word of God says these angels left their first estate. Listen. What kind of a job did these angels have? What was their real position? Well, let's go over here to, to Psalm 91, 11 and 12. And here it says, well, let's go 10. For there shall no evil befall thee, neither shall that any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over thee, to keep thee in all thy ways. For they shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion's den, and so on. This is a promise where God has angels to help us in life. And this word has never ceased. Why do you think people like Billy Graham wrote a book on angels? Why do you think the newsstands are full of articles now? I saw an angel. An angel did this. An angel came and did that. And the other, every magazine you pick, not everyone, but a whole bunch of them. They're blaring across the headlines. Angels, angels, angels. Angels were meant for the people of God. God's sons and daughters here upon earth. Over here in, look at Luke 1. And I wonder if anybody can say this doesn't happen anymore. In Luke 1 verse 11, it says, and there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord, that's Zacharias, standing on the right hand of the altar, side of the altar of incense. Verse 13, the angel said unto him, fear not, Zacharias. And then over here also in 28, concerning Mary, and the angel came in unto her and said, hail, thou art highly favored. The Lord is with thee, blessed art thou. When she saw that angel, she was troubled, and she wondered. The angel said, fear not, Mary. And the angel said all about what was going to happen. And then verse 35, the angel answered her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee. Angels. What about the fact over here in chapter 8 of Acts? And 26, and the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, arise and go toward the south. And then over here in 10, Acts 10, and we find verse 3, and it says, and he saw in the vision, evidently the ninth hour of the day, he saw an angel of God coming to him. And then again in verse 7, and when the angel which spake unto Cornelius was departed. So the angel came to Cornelius. Angels actually can make an appearance. And evidently they're supposed to. A lot of people claim angels come, and there's a lot of hogwash. They're nothing but devils. Because these angels can be here on earth at the same time those were kicked out of heaven. Angels, the Bible said, are held under the day of judgment. They're wicked. Devils that inhabited the man of Gadara. And they knew the name of Jesus. Why you come to torment us before our time? We recognize you, the Son of God. The angels have certain charges over us. But also notice in Mark. I think we want it. No, we want Matthew 18. We use that for dedication all the time. I think it was at 18. Might be 19. There was a dedication here. Jesus said, "Suffer the children unto me, and forbid them not, for such is the kingdom of heaven." And then the other chapter, that one must be in Mark, I guess, where, let's see if I can find that one. Maybe I can't. Might have made a missed little note here. But if I did, it really doesn't matter. No, that's the one on Gadara. The one I'm looking for also, it's the same chapter, their faces, their faces always do, the angel faces always behold my, rather the angel, their angels behold my Father's face, which is in heaven. So therefore, and it also said, anyone that disturbs or causes these to fall, it were better millstone hanged about their necks than to do this very thing. So we find here that there are actually angels that do have control and do have charge, and we are evidently not in touch with them as we might be, or they may be more in touch with us. We don't know. That's hard to understand. It may be that many times that you and I would have had accidents in our homes and cars, would have had bad things happen to us, but angelic help was there to help us at that time. Now, I don't believe that the papers I read where they say an angel came and healed me. Now, I'm not going to say that was not a God. I don't know. I know healing is of God. I can't answer the questions that aren't in the Bible, not I'm familiar with. I only know that angels actually had a ministry. And that ministry started up here with that great archangel who spread his wings across the mercy seat, who was up there in charge of worship according to God. And he was absolutely complimentary because of his office to Jesus Christ. This was positive, and that would be negative. Everything has a positive-negative charge. You can't get away from it. This whole life is built around the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, positive, negative. You can't get away from it. God alone knows good and God knows evil. God creates adversity. God creates good. And we have to acknowledge that through our lives. Okay, this here then was complimentary. And I keep using the word complimentary, and I keep taking you back to these men at the time of Moses who had offices. And they were anointed to that office. Now, they weren't anointed to the priesthood. They weren't anointed to the fivefold ministry. But they did have an anointing of the Holy Ghost. In other words, the same Holy Ghost that positively was a part of him and anointed him, gave him that word, gave him everything he had to have from Almighty God, wherein there was nothing more that he needed. These people here were merely gifted. And you'll notice that everything here was complementary, and there was a balance held. Now, have you caught what I'm telling you? William Branham said, the gifts of the Holy Ghost are complementary to the minister of the pastor. The pastor is a fivefold minister. The deacons and elders are not. They desire an office, and they can have that office given to them. And they'll be endowed by Almighty God, and their virtuous character proves that they are worthy of that very thing. They can even have tithe for their service. That's the elders, cannot deacons, because they're apt to teach. Now, Brother Branham did make a change when he wanted his deacons apt to teach. I don't know just why. That's Brother Branham's business. But he did try to put the church in order by gifts. And he said they are complementary to the ministry of the fivefold or the pastor. And that's exactly what you see here. They are to be complementary. But the very minute he wanted to take over as the Word when he was the Word. He was never a part of the Word. He was a part of the Word. This man was not a result of the Word. He was the Word. This was a result of the Word. All things created and maintained by the Word. Satan got out of his realm. So we find today, as these devils have come down, and the truth have come down, there has always been over here the negative. And that negative started in the first age when they got off the Word. And you can see it in the Galatian church. The only church you don't see off the Word is the Ephesian church. And had the Ephesian church did get off the Word after Paul was gone, because John wrote about it. And they had left their first love. Now, when you leave your first love, you're actually leaving God. You're leaving the Holy Ghost behind, because He is love. God is love. Now, the Galatian church, as I said, tell you the truth of the Ephesian church, because every message was given to every single church. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. All 7 messages were given to age number 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Because that whole seed lies in there. And the Galatian church is what Paul said. He said, why have you turned against the Word? In the book of Acts, he withstood Peter. He said, who did sin, you or God? He said, you ate with the Gentiles. You thought it was fine. Now you come here and you withdraw yourself. You who opened the door to the Gentiles, you have become a lousy hypocrite. Because Peter, that's exactly what you are. You are a hypocrite. Now you want this man circumcised. You want to put upon him a burden you yourselves couldn't have. Now he said, Christ has made you free, and you're trying to give a burden to these people. What are you talking about? You are a hypocrite, Peter. I don't care if you are full of the Holy Ghost. I don't care if you did open the door to the Gentiles. I'm telling you now, you are a hypocrite. Oh, boy, that'll put smoke in yours, wouldn't it? You bet. You think they didn't have it hot and heavy? You bet your life they had it hot and heavy. Well, Brother Paul, I walk in love. Yes, you know. You shouldn't stand up with the Word. You should just stand with Jesus. Don't turn my stomach. You can't even get your prayers answered when you turn away from the Word of God. A woman cutting her hair cannot have her prayers answered. She does. She will have leanness of soul that she never had before, and she can get it, and she'll account to God for every single thing He gave her. Because she just took part of that Word. And what she did take was pretty was not for her in the first place. So here now, what do we find the devil? We find the devil, how art thou fallen? The perverter. The one who has to go to animals. Would you find an angel of God that stayed true to God up there, creation? Do you think any one of those that inhabit an animal? Like those devils did that inhabited the pigs. The pigs had more brains than the people did because they ran down to sea and drowned. You know that animals can see spirits and see them? Dogs and cats will growl and spit. And what about the time that Brother Branham cast that devil out of that girl, the screener, bang, bang, lickety, bang, bang. And the guy saw that devil rise up and he hit his head under the mattress or something. That was an angel. Fallen angel. How art thou fallen, O Lucifer, son of the morning? And what is he now? He's not up here complimentary to what you'd call the brother. The positive. What's he down doing now? He's the accuser of the brethren. And day and night he wanders the earth like the book of Job, and he goes before God, and God said, where have you been today now, Satan? Well, he said, I've been wandering around the earth. Well, he said, did you observe my servant Job? He said, none like him. Oh, he said, don't give me that stuff. He said, sure. He said, anybody can love you and anybody faithful. He said, you build a hedge around the guy. You've given him vast. You've given him a good wife. You've given him kids. And you've given him wealth. You've given him a healthy body. He's got everything. My God, if anybody doesn't worship you, said Satan. He said, and be thankful. He said, he's worse than I am. But he said, I tell you what to do. He said, why don't you stretch forth your finger and just take away everything the man's got? And he'll curse you to the face. And God said, don't give me that stuff. I know Job better than that. He said, take what he's got. So he took everything he had. Then he took his family. And Satan still said, well, he said, come on. He said, a skin for skin. All that a man hath to give for his life. You know, they tried to bring that, a lawyer tried to bring that up to a judge one time in the court. He was defending this man that killed the fellow. And why he said, judge, the Bible distinctly says, he said, his skin for skin, he said, eye for an eye. He said, all that a man hath, what he give for his life. The devil's just a minute. He said, I know the Bible. He said, the devil said that, not God. He said, forget it. Judge knew the Bible. So God said, well, he said, you can touch him, but you can't take his life. The accuser of the brethren, the defiler, the perverter of the word. Notice how he perverted the word to God there. Turn it right around. And you notice how that God says, you do it, I won't do it. I'll let you have your way. You accuse the brethren. Notice how they fell down there. And notice today, as we've come all the way down, you've always had the positive and you've had the negative. And notice, out of darkness came light, because God was there. This light began to shine the reality. Coming on down here through human structure and human form. These are merely creations. They can't multiply themselves. They can't do it. They're there. Many are bound in chains because they're too dangerous, waiting for judgment. Others have been loosed upon the earth here. I think Brother Branham, he agreed with Milton Breffy 1/3. He put that there. Now, as we look at this here, this now, as always, is the center of worship. Worship. Worship, worship. Government is there, but government was not there in the beginning except of God, by God, and for God. We had a part in it. Way back there, we didn't know it. That's all right. Just leave that be. So we have then the whole schematic, which is religion, which is worship. And you will find there is no place where there isn't some kind of a worship. And you will find that today there are still very, very, very few atheists. Even the Pope. Now he's got the Catholics believing and the stupid Protestants and the rest of them. It's okay to believe in evolution as long as you believe in the original divine spark. Oh, sure, we can't discard evolution. Well, we can't discard God. They are not atheists. Now, you might have a few agnostics, and you do have. And they'll honestly say, well, I don't know if there is a God or not. But what you're going to have is the majority who always will be Gnostic, that they have a different and superior revelation apart from vindication. When Brother Branham was vindicated, and God was vindicated over in India, before the Muslims and the Hindus and the Christians and you name it, roughly 500,000, when God gave that blind man brand new eyes, do you think for 1 minute they changed? Not for 1 second. Most of them thought God was incarnated, their God, incarnated in William Branham. And they'd have torn him to bits and torn all the clothes off if the police hadn't rescued him. They're not agnostics, and they're not atheists. They're Gnostics. And Satan is a Gnostic. The devils believe in God, and they're all trembling. Now, what I'm trying to show you is the whole church government, the whole world is made up of sons of the living God, wise and foolish virgins. And over here, you have all of these that come into the beast mentality and the beast outlook of life. And they are descendants from Cain and his father, the beast. And they've intermingled with these over here because they could not reproduce of themselves. They had to produce through this. And that way they built up, which was not strictly a hybrid, but it was a hybrid plus. Because every time one of these moved in here and would take two women out of here, this one person, and then that one would take out. Pretty soon you had, even though you had the genes of the beast race in the flesh, you had this coming over here. So you have a religious bunch. And remember, Cain was not irreligious. He was religious. Remember, the beast was religious. They are all Gnostics. You see why the whole world ends up under religion? Well, you've been sitting here thinking, well, this person here, he's a heathen. He's got this God here. And this one's got an idol over here. And this one's got this over here. And this has got a philosophy. They are everyone Gnostics. Everyone. Russia tried atheism. It didn't work. It never did work and it never will. Because people are not atheistic. I doubt a 1%. And Brother Branham quoted it, and it's true, there weren't 4% of the Russians that were atheists. Not even 4%. And that's a pretty wide margin. As one person said, there's no atheists in a foxhole. In other words, when you get the pitch really come down on you, you're going to call for some kind of a help. And believe me, it won't be necessarily your mother and your father, because they might be too far off. So we have over here then, we have Gnosticism. And what happened in the early church that brought Ephesus down was Gnosticism. That's why Irenaeus wrote volumes on Gnosticism. And it's the stupidest thing in the world. All he had to do is do what I do, just call it a superior, inferior, mental revelation from the devil. That's all. Now, right. Notice, this started as complementary to reality because it did contain some of the reality, which was a God-appointed, written of, not predestined like you and me, but written of in the books concerning all this here and these people here. And you can't deny that these people have offices. And you can't deny that they're not anointed to them. And you can't deny the Holy Ghost is not operating somehow through them. But you can deny on the strength of the Word of Almighty God that they are not sons of God, they are not born again, they are creatures of the destiny of the beast, and they have gifts which are complementary. And the church in here has gifts which are complementary. And they're complementary to reality, because your fivefold ministry here, and those ordained of God, starting with the prophet on down, in here, they are actual gifts to the church. And in the congregation are all those gifts in Romans, the 12th chapter. The gift of giving, the gift of forgiving, the gift of cheerfulness, the gift of this. God knows there's hundreds, Irenaeus said. And over here, you've got that which is complementary. And so over here, you'll find the majority of these people who are forgiving, and they're happy in doing it. So come on, let's go to Romans 12. This is too good a portion that I should not quote it exactly, because I'm not a good quoter. No. It says here, having gifts then differing according to the grace that is given us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry. Wait on our ministering. What's that? That's just serving people, I guess, and being good and nice and kind and hospitable and welcoming. A good spirit, openness, come on. Hey, we just take at face value. But of course, I could add to that. Or he that teaches on teaching. Hey? A woman called herself a teacher in Brother Branham's church. He that exhorteth on exhortation. Maybe there's exhorters amongst us. Who knows? He that giveth with simplicity. Hey, you got a partner you that give. Her name's Simplicity. You're married to her. You that like to give. You got a sweet little honeymoon right there, honey, going for you. Her name is Simplicity. He that ruleth with diligence. In other words, you in the church, you put that above your own life. So you have a vocation, which is what God has given you by the Holy Ghost as your position as a member in the bride of Christ, which is just as important as the fivefold ministry in the office in which you're operating. Because there's no big ones amongst us. Brother Branham said there's no great ones, Holy Pope and Holy Father. The great one is here. We're all leveled in the presence of God. We're all bond slaves. But all of us have been given different offices and the measure of faith to go with it. In other words, what we got works. And as we step aside and let God use it within us, it becomes tremendous, overflowing, beautiful, full of grace and glory. He that shows mercy with cheerfulness. Now, here's your crowd. Right here, over here. Oh, they show mercy, always forgive, always show love, always do this, always do that. The word, forget the word. Hey, We're all one in Jesus. Hallelujah. Yeah. That's why you can have the true gifts in the church will complement every single thing here. Over here will lead you plumb to hell. And stand before God in that day. And you're going to say, oh, we cast out devils. And he said, no doubt about it. You had a real gift of casting out devils. Oh, we healed the sick. No doubt about it. You had a genuine gift of healing. Absolutely no problem right there. Oh, we prophesied right on the line. You sure did just like Balaam. Depart from me. I never knew you because you've listened to a false prophet. Who is the original false prophet? Tell me. Who's the original prophet up here? That's the one right there you're looking at. See? When you talk about manifestation, God's the original prophet. But when you come right here, this fella here is way off the line. Now you got churches say, well, we can prophesy, and they do. Silly little things from the floor. Ridiculous. Nobody pays any attention. It's a puffed up thing going on. Brother Branham said, put it in the room and judge it. Don't even have the gifts offered unless you got a man who can discern spirits and see what spirits upon that person. Well, you know the only way I could discern spirits, and I'll just tell you flat. I'll say just a minute. What's Deuteronomy 18 all about? What's Deuteronomy 13 all about? Explain to me Malachi 4:1-6. Check over here in Acts 3:20. Give me some soap on it. Carefully delineate upon 1 Thessalonians 4:16. What do you do there with Revelation 10:1-7, contrast to Revelation 4 and 5? I'll give you a test, see whether you're God or not. And I'll discern your spirit by the word. Because I can tell where it's come from, just like you can tell mine. Because it's got to align with the prophet. There's got to be a superimposition of the word of God upon everything in the church, or it fails the test of the discerning of spirits. Now, that discerning of spirits, Brother Branham, had discernment. Identified the thoughts and intents of people's hearts. He could do it, too. And now, with the word of God, we with experience can do the same thing, though we don't go around trying to tell you, oh, you got this thing wrong and that thing wrong. You've done this, you've done this. Forget it. Just the word check is all that you need, like the first church age had. Say, you're false. Come on, you got a wrong spirit. Get out of here. You're not saying what the prophet said. You're saying what you're bending and twisting around. Talk about the presence of God himself here, and there's his picture. Brother Branham said there, we have his picture. How come you people can't find that in your computer? For God's sake, William Branham said it. We have his picture. I want to know. And forget your computers. Get your heart lined up with the word of Almighty God and know what the prophet really taught. There is his picture. So I don't believe it. Who cares what you believe? I'm a dying man, 82 years of age. My eyesight's gone. I'm like the last chapter of the book of Ecclesiastes. When the grinders are low, means your teeth are worn out. It talks about your dull of hearing. The keepers of the temple, that's your knees, are giving way. It talks about the grasshopper. That's what the old saying is, if a grasshopper hit his shoulder, he'd fall over. The almond tree budding, the hair is white. They said, remember now thy creator, the days thy useless, the evil days draw nigh. And you say, I got no pleasure in him. I can look back on the years of serving God. I got pleasure in that. If I've seen one thing done, I got pleasure in that. Whether I'm ready to go or not, I'm ready to go, whether I know it or not. And I'm going. With a word test. And that's all that I've got, because I've not seen God. That's a picture. And that's just a reflection. That's all it is, just a reflection. But I've got a word. The Bible said, Brother Banner said, that conduit is the word. It's full of the Holy Ghost. And word upon word, I and you and I can get filled more and more filled. But in this last day, at the end of time, they're going to come and say, Lord, we cast out devils. See, I never knew you. He said, you weren't one of these. You were doing this over here because you had an office. You had a gift. But let me tell you something. A gift is only a gift by a giver. You didn't have the giver. If you didn't have representation here, from here to here, you don't have it here. And if you have it here, the sheep hear the voice. And the voice of God is in the prophet. And just before New Jerusalem, he speaks, that one from heaven speaks again, and he can only speak on earth through a prophet. Hebrews 12.
Right. See, there's your picture. There's your word test. There's whether you got something from God or God or not. Not because I say so. I'm talking about a vindicated prophet. Not vindicated, Lee Vail. He's got no vindication. Let's get that down flat. So, all right. Let's go to the book of James. Thou sealest up the sum of wisdom. This great wisdom that Satan had. Okay. In the third chapter, he said, my brethren, be not many teachers, knowing not masters, teachers. But you see, a teacher becomes a master. They talk about, what do the philosophers talk? I was taught by the master. I was taught by the master. We believe in the ascended masters. Jesus was an ascended master. You notice Moses was an ascended master. And Krishnamurti was too, never get. And Buddha, yeah. And Muhammad, yeah, ascended masters. Descended masters, those guys. They came from hell and they're going back to hell. Hindu. You know what they call philosophy here in America? Theosophy? It's Eastern baloney cut Western style. That's all it is. You know baloney's made of? The cheap cuts that you wouldn't dare eat, that you put Lysol and junk in to kill the bugs and little taste, little smoke to make it taste and eat that stuff. Lungs and hide and chitlins. Dirty gizzards and guts. You notice you can buy eggs in Kroger's, they're stamped with a little mark on them, and they say, these chickens have not been fed animal products. You know, the wisdom of this world is funny. When they get a thing right, it jibes with the Bible. But they don't believe the Bible. Didn't Brother Branham say, don't eat eggs? Why? I believe you get natural, good, raw eggs. And I think he ate them till he died. I'm not positive. And I think Needy said he had custard. Little custard even after the word came out, don't eat eggs, don't live in the valley, don't eat meat unless you eat a little wild meat, not too much of that. What about the meat? It's full of hormones. You tell me why one little group of people that produce hormones can destroy nations of people by injecting that animals with hormones. Tell me. And you got politicians that know it. You know who's running it? This old boy right up here. He owns the kingdoms of this world. He's got control. Jesus never denied him. And anyway, here's James. And he talks about the tongue. The tongue's a fire word of iniquity among our members. Defiles the whole body. Sets it on fire. That sets on fire the course of nature. And it's a fire of hell. What the fire of hell got to do with it? My tongue is all right. There's nothing wrong with my tongue. That's stupid. No, it's not stupid. What he's telling you this, a tongue of a prophet is where the word is. It's not in his mind, and it's no place else. It's simply in his tongue. And your word that we get, in my word we get in the prophet, never came from our mind. It's in our tongue. It's in the mind, sure, because we listen. But the point is, it comes from that tongue. And if you don't have the Word of God, you got a tongue that sets the world on fire because that tongue forms words within your mouth. And remember, the Word of God distinctly said that the devil, that hell was made for the devil and his angels. So therefore, this guy, he has a tongue that's not of God. He's got a tongue that's of the devil. You just can't read this and say, well, this man curses God, and this man says nice thing, and this, and you divide it. I'm going to show it to you. You got to get right down to what Jesus said. And he said, the tongue can no man tame, it's unruly, full of deadly poison. Oh, is it now? That's not what the Bible teaches. That's not what Jesus taught. He said, out of the heart proceedeth adulteries and murders and everything else. He didn't say it was the tongue. You gotta go beyond. This guy here is a phony and a fraud if you don't understand what's going on. This is why Luther called this the hay Bible. The straw Bible. Works. James to him was a kind of an idiot. Not really, but kind of. He had no use for him.
He didn't understand what this man was bringing out. Like as I said the other day, I'm not here with the gospel of morals. I don't defend morals. I'm not set for the defense of morals. I'm set for the defense of the gospel, because if you've got the gospel, you will have morals. But you don't have morals and then get the gospel, because I can prove by scripture you can have all the morals in the world and go to hell. Let love be without hypocrisy. I can be a perfect hypocrite with my love, and I'll fool you right down the path of hell. Come on, let's get some things straight for once in our lives. Huh? Okay. Now, watch. Doth the fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Now, I was telling you, then in the tongue is a source. It's not the tongue. It's the source. Now, let's read further. Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries, either a vine figs? Now, where is he quoting from? Tell me what chapter in Matthew is he quoting from? From Jesus. Now, come on, somebody. Now, don't just look at me. Tell me. Matthew 7. And what did Jesus say? He said, brambles and figs, fruit as against tares. Life as against death, bitter as against sweet, cursing as against praising. All depends on who your teacher is, because he said here, brethren, be not many teachers. Who are you listening to, God or the devil? And your tongue will tell you. And don't try to be a hypocrite with me, because you say one time the word of God, the next time the word of the devil, I've got you nailed. Now, that's Lee Dale's understanding from what Brother Branham taught and what the rest of the Word God teaches. Can a fountain yield fresh water and salt water? Who is the, now watch. Who is a wise man endued with knowledge among you? Huh, for heaven's sake. So I'm going to call a confab and say, well, here's Brother John and here's Brother Pete. And Brother Joe's missing this morning. He's over there preaching in Columbus. But I'll get some more of you nice people here. And I'll say, let's have a confab. And let's begin to understand this here. Now, let's get some knowledge amongst us. Ha! If it's not a vindicated prophet giving me my knowledge, you can have it with bells on, bread and butter, ice cream and a cherry. And you can die with it. I'm not interested. I'll take a soda cracker and branch water with William Branham in the Word of God any day. So the tongue is only symptomatic as smoking and cursing and stealing and adultery and everything else is. It's your unbelief. And who is your teacher? Who is your teacher? Didn't God say, Jesus, didn't he say, I will send the Holy Ghost and he will teach you? And how does the Holy Ghost teach anybody? By indwelling the prophet. And didn't Paul tell every prophet of the fivefold and every minister and every person, if you are born again or a prophet, you've got some gift that's complementary. You've got anything to do with what I'm dealing with and what you pretend you're dealing with. You will acknowledge, you'll superimpose every single thing I say upon everything you say and everything you do to see if you line up with what I am telling you, because I'm vindicated from God and I am here for God and of God and by God, and you better believe it. You listen to me, you're listening to God. As William Branham said, you're looking at me, aren't you? Same thing. Oh, Brother Dale, I don't know if that's going too far. It's not going far enough for me, bless God. I'll just be honest with you. What I'm trying to tell you, I don't believe it near enough. And I just don't have it absorbed enough. And I just don't have enough. Oh, my. I wish I had that right down all the way down. How many minutes? No minutes? 5 minutes. Okay. We can finish it because we talked about it. Now he said here, who is the wise man and dude? Well, it's only one. He's got the Holy Ghost. He's a prophet of God. But if you have bitter envies and strife in your hearts, and what's that? That's a Corinthian church. Bitter envy and strife. The wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, and is by your senses, and is therefore devilish. For while there's envy and strife and confusion, and Brother Branham said the gifts brought confusion because they weren't in order, but the wisdom which is from above is pure. And what is pure? The Word of God, chemically and tried. Perfect. It's peaceable. Brings you peace. It's easy to be entreated. Hey, the Word says so. I like it. I want it. Full of mercy and good fruits without partiality, without hypocrisy. Ha ha! My love is genuine because I got the Word of God. How can you not love each other with a genuine love? You that love this Word. Come on, brother, sister. Here's the truth before you this morning. There's your line all the way down. There's your hypocrisy. There's your offices. There's the Holy Ghost manifesting there through gifts and all, and proving there is a God, as the Scripture said. He gave gifts to the people, and He said He gave the other gifts to the congregation to prove the Lord dwelt among them. And in this hour when God is down here dwelling, you've got all this in full force. But you can't teach the Pentecost, you can't teach anybody else. I give up teaching. Well, I won't be quite so sober. I remember the day I was with Jack Bell. I preached hard. I preached long like these last two services. A young man came up after service and he said, Brother Vail, I've got a question. I said, who hasn't? Let's go and eat. And Jack looked at me and his jaw fell open. Then he began to laugh like crazy because he saw the point. Let's go and eat and I'll answer your question while I'm eating. I'm not going to talk and answer questions while we eat. We're going to go eat shortly, but I'm just saying, it's time to eat natural food. I hope you got enough this morning in the sense that it's gelled in your thoughts and consciousness as to what it's all about. And that's why there's coming an Antichrist and a world worship system. It's already here. It's already in order. One day, the judgment of God is going to be executed. Because it's already passed. Let's rise and be dismissed. Heavenly Father, again we thank You for the time of fellowship we have with You and Your people here. We enjoy it so wonderfully, Lord, because it is so good. May we not be found guilty, Lord, of any grandstanding or emoting or those things, Lord, that are so common with pulpits and common in life. But may it get down to the reality, the truth, the real substance, which we know is the only thing to get to, and that is the Word, Lord, that You gave, vindicated to us, and thereby we know You, and we know that You know us, and thereby we know that we have these things that are contracted in the testament, the covenant of God through Jesus Christ to us and for our benefit, and they are ours, not only sealed by blood, but definitely brought into manifestation through the living Christ who rose for us and now intercedes and mediates in our behalf. Unto Him be glory in the church. Unto You by Him, O God, be glory in the church through us. And may it come through us, Lord, if it came through nobody else, which we don't believe that is true. We believe it's coming through many. But may it be here, Lord, the full assurance of faith, coming in and through us for Your glory and for Your honor. Equipping Your saints for the battle ahead, Lord. Equipping us all, knowing that there is a path that every Christian foot must tread upon. And that is that word of faith in that outline that You have given us. Help us, Lord, to recognize it, to cherish, to love it above everything else, and put it first in our lives. Now unto the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be all power, honor, and glory through Jesus Christ, our blessed Savior. Amen. Take the name of Jesus with you.
Take the name of Jesus.